It's not complicated, don't need a lot of rules. This is all you'll ever need to steeples out of stone, fill books with explanations of the way. But if we'd stop and listen and break a little bread, we would hear the loving Master say,
loving God. This morning, my message is entitled, Living Wrinkle-Free. Living Wrinkle-Free. You know the anti-aging market, global anti-aging market is phenomenal. As a matter of fact, they say that it stands at about $42.5 million across the globe. Speaking of humanity's desire to reverse the clock, to hold back the natural forces of aging. And while that's a consideration, we won't be talking about that type of wrinkle today. Wrinkle cream or finding the fountain of youth, but instead about something else. I asked our administrative assistant, Crystal, what she thought the sermon would be about from the title. And one of her answers was polyester. Very good. Very close. We will be, but just for a moment, I promise, we'll get to God's word. You'll have to put up with just another story of mine for just a moment. When I was 19, of course, you know the story, I came from Australia, came to the United States to study. And I wasn't prepared for the fact that clothing was a little bit different from where I was from, where I was moving to the southern United States, there in Virginia. And I couldn't find the right style shirt and pattern, and all that was available that I could tell was striped and checkered, and I wasn't a striped and checkered shirt individual, because I just don't think it looks good on me, but that's all that they had to offer, and because I wanted to wear shirts, and I was going to school and wanted to look smart, that's what I had to wear. But what the shirts lacked in looks and style, they made up for in spunk. And I remember taking one of those shirts and I looked at the tag and this thing popped off the tag and it said wrinkle resistant. Wrinkle resistant. I said, man, I like the sounds of that. You could throw that shirt in the wash. You could let it run on several cycles. You could throw it in the dryer. And when you pulled that shirt out, it looked pretty sharp. And anyone who knows me knows that in my dresser, my wardrobe, I like my shirts ironed and kind of color coordinated. I told you I have a little OCD. I'm teasing, of course. No, a little bit. So there it was. The goal, 19-year-old young man in college, not have to worry about ironing his shirts. This was good. This was a good thing, you see. And I like that. What person wouldn't like a shirt like that? I'm not sure if wrinkle-resistant clothing is that popular today, except if you're a traveler. And if you're a traveler, you're looking for wrinkle-resistant clothing to wear. Having a wrinkle-resistant shirt, and I remember clearly wondering, as that little thing popped out, wrinkle-resistant, I remember wondering whether I was a little that way. I'd like to think that I was. Was I wrinkle-resistant when it came to life's challenges and life's challenging people? Did I crinkle a little when trials came my way? Was my natural inclination to crumple when something just didn't sit right, when someone said something? Or did I remain calm and composed no matter what? It was a challenge just off of that little wrinkle-resistant message on my shirt. Now, you know that synthetics like polyester, spandex, nylon, and the like, rayon, they don't wrinkle very easily. But it's the natural materials that wrinkle, like linen and cotton and silk. And it's very interesting. It's pretty natural for us to get wrinkled as well, especially if we get offended. Especially if we get offended. People seem to just get easily offended today about just about anything. Actually, the number, if you've looked at in preparation for this message, as I was online looking at some of the articles, there was a tremendous number of articles that talk about what to say so you don't offend someone or how you can prevent yourself from being offended. One article said, culture may seem to be dominated by trigger warning and hypersensitivity. And a sizable new poll came out that said that 81% of Americans agree that people are too easily offended today. It's something that people have been talking about, a little concerned about, especially with the rise of the PC culture. People feel on edge like they're walking on eggshells, so to speak, and not sure whether what they're thinking, the thing that they're thinking, whether they should say it, lest they might offend somebody. Well, to lighten some of the public tension, someone offered this. He said, "I'm offended that you're offended by my taking offense at your offensive offensiveness." But more than just trying to figure out where this sensitivity has come from, that's not the burden of my message today. The fact of the matter is that we get offended. So how do we handle getting offended? That's really what we want to talk about today. How can we live wrinkle-free? How can we live wrinkle-free? After all, Jesus is coming back for a church. Do you remember what Paul wrote in Ephesians 5:27? A church without spot or what? Wrinkle, that's exactly right. Yes, some of us here at church are prone to get offended too. Christians are not immune. So if you're offended, you probably experience being irritated, a feeling of getting upset, feeling hurt or wounded or insulted, getting annoyed or feeling irked. Offense is really an emotional response. One that initially, perhaps we can't help but feel. Someone said or did something to hurt you. Perhaps they forgot to do something they said they would, or they neglected you in some way. And the natural response is we get hurt. Is that always right? Or is that not quite the way it should be? So let's step back just for a few moments just to consider the time in which we live. I'll take a big picture approach for a moment. Then we're going to get specific. It's clear that the Bible points to our day as living in the last days. This is the generation, this is the time in which Jesus is going to come. There's no question about that when we look at our Bibles. The Bible makes it clear that we're living in the days preceding Jesus' return. Can I get an amen out there? Sure. Now, Paul, he wrote about our day, and it's like taking a bit of the newspaper out and just putting it in the Bible. He said in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 4, "This also know that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves," he says, "covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." You look at that list, there's a lot that can offend people in the last days, right? Certainly. And then you add to that the words of Jesus, and I'd like to invite you to turn with me to Matthew 24. In the first 7 to 8 verses, he describes what the condition of the world will be like prior to his return. He also discusses it later on in Matthew chapter 24. It's interesting, he talks about earthquakes, and of course we know that there's been several here recently in China, in Turkey, Puerto Rico. Earthquakes continue to mount up. And then he talks about pestilences and the like. And of course, there's news today about the coronavirus that started in China, that's drifted down to Australia. And I think we even have a case or two now here. And it all started, it seems, from a food market. And they suspect that it is coming from an individual who ate a bat. And of course, the Bible is very clear that that's something you probably don't want to put in your mouth and eat. And we're seeing the results of that today. And so you see these things, but in verses 9 and 10, Jesus continues and he shares these very sobering words. So let's take a look. He says, "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation. They'll kill you. You'll be hated by all nations for my sake. And then many will be," what's that word? "Offended. And they will betray one another and they will hate one another." Jesus in John 16 verse 1 says, "These things I've spoken to you so that you may not be offended." That you may not be offended. Some folk think that they're ready for this to come, and yet they get very easily offended over the smallest things. Some folk can't even take advice or constructive criticism, and yet they say they're ready to die for Jesus. One thing is certain, offenses will always be here. I'm not saying that because I'm saying it. I don't believe it just because I see it or you see it. Go with me back to Matthew chapter 18, just a few pages back. Matthew 18 and verse 7. Notice what Jesus said. Matthew 18 verse 7, he said, "Woe to the world because of offenses." Then notice, he says, "For offenses must" what? "Come. Offenses must Come. That's what he says. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. I've told you these things so that you won't be offended, Jesus says, for my sake. Not that Christ's words, when he says here that offenses must come, necessitates offenses. It's just a statement of fact. And considering the malice of Satan, considering the weakness and depravity of the human heart and the foolishness found there, it's impossible that there won't be offenses in the world or even in our worlds. And Jesus says there at the end of verse 7, but woe to man, to that man by whom the offense comes. We don't want to be the offending party, amen? Sure, hang on. We don't want to be the offending party, amen? All right, I'm just checking, just making sure you didn't want to be, all right? Otherwise, I'd be getting it at the door when we left today, all right? Now, if I'm going to make it through bigger offenses in the last days, then I need to learn how to not get offended by the little things today. That's just how it goes. You can't sit around saying, yes, I'm offended by this, yes, I'm offended by that. But when things really begin to happen, man, I'm going to be calm, composed, and I will not get myself all wrinkled up. If we are getting all crinkled up and crumpled up and wrinkled up over the smallest things today, we are not going to be ready for when things really take place here prior to Jesus' return. And so how can we not be offended by the little things, you see? Now, if you have family and friends, which you do, then there's been a time when you've been offended by something they've said or done, right? Yeah, certainly it happens. If you're working somewhere, you're associating with people, you're bound to just get offended. My first job, I remember working at a grocery store, collecting all the shopping carts, making sure the shelves were stacked well, the food was forward, first in, first out, FIFO, all of those things. And I remember my boss, and he was a good guy, but man, he was direct. And if you didn't have some thick skin, you'd get offended. But he kind of had to be that way. He was a good boss. My second job, I remember flipping burgers there and hearing the calls, and the managers would run back there telling us, where are the fries? Where are the burgers? They'd be rude. They'd be direct. They'd be demanding. They'd be rude. So what do you do with people like that and situations like that? I wish I could say that I've always responded to offensive remarks the right way, but I haven't. Now, you know they say confession's good for the soul. I'll confess. The other day, someone got frustrated with me in a line at a grocery store, and then she swore at me. And I asked her if she'd gotten out of the wrong side of bed that day. She didn't say anything in return, and I walked away saying that just wasn't the best way to handle that situation. We're prone to just respond. It's easy sometimes to let other people's careless, blunt, insensitive words rub us up the wrong way. You feel hurt, you get upset, you feel insulted, you're snubbed, you're slighted, you're wronged, and you just can't let the comment slide. We can all relate, right? And we find ourselves offended by something someone said, perhaps did. You didn't get invited to a party that everyone else is going to. Your boss commends a coworker but didn't commend you. Didn't receive acknowledgement. No, you didn't get a thank you for that birthday present that you gave someone. Someone put their nose in your business. You didn't ask for their advice. Even in church, there are people you have to deal with. Some can be bossy. Some can be gossipy. Some can be direct. Some can be rude. How do you handle those encounters? It can be difficult to overlook these kinds of annoyances, truly. And yet the Bible encourages us and tells us that we must. I want to take you to a few verses here, Ecclesiastes 7. The Bible admonishes us, to begin with, not to be oversensitive. Not to be oversensitive. Some folk are very, very sensitive. And the Bible admonishes us not to be. Notice Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 21. We'll also read verse 22. The wise man says, also, do not take to heart everything people say. There are folk who take everything to heart, everything everyone says, the look they give, the sound of their voice, the intonation. Don't take into consideration, he said, don't take everything to heart that people say, lest you hear your servant cursing. You notice verse 22. For many times also, your own heart has known that even you have cursed others. So don't be so hard on others and don't take everything to heart that people say. We also know that a part of the fruit of the Spirit, or one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, is love. And love is not easily provoked. 1 Corinthians 13:5. Charity is not easily provoked. And those who really love God and those who love His law and understand His word will not allow small irritants and annoyances to drive a wedge between themselves and others. Because the psalmist said, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." We also know how easy it is to cause an offense to others. Go back to Proverbs chapter 11, Proverbs 11 verse 12. We have to be a little understanding because it's easy for us to cause offense as well. Proverbs 11 verse 12. It says, "He who is devoid of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace." There are times where silence is golden. Now, certainly these verses aren't telling us, and I'm not going to be here today telling you, that you shouldn't confront a person when there's a serious problem. I'm not going to say that. The Bible doesn't say that we should avoid those situations. As a matter of fact, there are times when we need to go to our brother, we need to go to our sister, because we're commanded to do so by Jesus in Matthew 18. If a brother offends you, go to him. And actually, if we don't go to that person, it's not going to be good for them, and it's not going to be good for you. And what typically happens is we tell everyone else, but we don't go to the other person and relate the concern that we have that's serious enough for it to be addressed. We'll go to this person, we'll go to that person. And what you're doing is you're depriving the other person an opportunity to grow. If they were just told what had happened, maybe they misunderstood, maybe they were not in their right frame of mind. Maybe there was just a little misunderstanding. And you deprive yourself also of the blessing of going to a person. And you also, the blessing is you are growing. Because it's not easy to approach a person and be tactful about a situation that you've just encountered and you've been offended by. So you deprive yourself and you deprive the other person of true, genuine Christian growth. And you also affect other people's lives when you let them know all the problems you've had with this particular person. You're not bringing joy and happiness to their lives. All right. Now, there are people who aren't confrontational, but they also still get offended. And rather than pick a fight with the offender, what they'll do is they'll stew on that thing. They'll harbor it, all kinds of negative emotions. And that's not good as well. These kinds of feelings, they grow and then they fester. It turns into bitterness and anger, and the person becomes miserable and also leads to grudges. And there are plenty of people, sadly, even in the church, that have spent years estranged from good friends or relatives simply because of a small offense. The Bible admonishes us. You were in Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs 19:11. This is our scripture reading that Lucas read so well for us here this morning. Proverbs 19:11, the Bible says, "The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook an offense." In moments of calm, the wise man's counsel sounds so right, so sane, so good. Overlooking offense is our glory. But then the offense actually come. And they actually end up looking and feeling larger than perhaps they really are. A spouse's consistent fault finding, a boss's unfair criticism, a stranger's unaccountable rudeness, give the right circumstances, any of these will rise up in front of us like they did to the spies going over into Canaan, like the sons of Anak, where their shoulders extend to the heavens, peripherals are blurred and tunnel vision ensues, and we only have eyes on the offense. The offense. Even if sanity swiftly returns, the damage is already done. We return tone for tone, passive aggression for passive aggression, jab for jab. Or we restrained ourselves externally, but only as a small poof, volcano erupted inside. Or we quietly smoldered, playing the incident on repeat for the rest of the day. So how do you become wrinkle resistant? How do you become wrinkle resistant? I'm just going to share a few things with you, and we'll look at some Bible verses here. How do you become wrinkle resistant? First area, best place to start, get the focus off yourself. Get the focus off self. Having hurt feelings and being easily offended is almost always a result of being too preoccupied with self. No one liked my ideas. She was curt with me. She hardly talked to me. He didn't even thank me. No one ever asked for my opinion. Why wasn't I considered for the position? Nobody paid attention to me. If you find yourself getting irritated because someone else is in the limelight, just think about all the good qualities of that person. Think about all the good qualities of that person. If you're upset because you didn't get your way or someone pointed out a shortcoming and that doesn't feel always very good, ask God to help you to have more of a humble mind. Don't think so highly of yourself. You may not want to hear it, but it actually might help you. It actually helps us. It's hard to become offended, by the way, if you're esteeming others better than yourself. It really is. Valuing what they have to offer. One of the best ways to keep from focusing or becoming offended is to keep your focus off yourself. Live for Jesus. Live for others. Take your focus off yourself. The second thing is just be sympathetic. Try to take the other person's situation or background into account. We all have different reasons for doing the things that we do. Sometimes we might see what we might seem to be a major offense may just simply be a reflection of a personality, an upbringing, a cultural background or lifestyle. A friend in college related to me back then that, she was from Australia, I'm from Australia, so we had a good laugh at this, but it caused a bit of an uproar there in the girls' dormitory. Let me just help you understand something. In Australia, a sweater is called a jumper. A sweater is a jumper. But yet in America, in certain parts of America, a full dress from shoulder down is called a jumper. And so she was there with a group of the gals in the dormitory. She was, they were doing something and she was feeling warm and getting hot. And she just let out and she just said, "Boy, it's hot in here. I think I'll take off my jumper." And everyone said, "No, you don't want to do that," thinking she was referring to her dress. But she's Australian and a jumper is a sweater. And all she wanted to do was take off her sweater. Now, when everyone understood what was going on, everything was okay, but it just goes to show that we come from different backgrounds. We use different words. We approach things differently, and sometimes we have to take that into consideration, you see. And so be sympathetic. The next time you find yourself taking offense to something, try to imagine yourself in the other person's situation. Remind yourself that he or she may not be coming from the same perspective as you. What once seemed like a huge offense to you may no longer be one. That's second, be sympathetic. Thirdly, examine your own feelings. Typically, people who are easily offended are oversensitive about too many things. They seem to have a chip on their shoulder. They're very quick to interpret even the most innocent comments as an offense. They become offended not so much because of what was said or done to them, but primarily because of their own inner personal struggles. Now, I was telling Jen the other day, I asked her, "Honey, do you think my hair is thinning on top?" Because I cut my own hair and it was growing, it was pretty short, and I could see my scalp. And that was a bit concerning. My dad has a nice head of hair. My brother has a nice head of hair. There's a little baldness that runs in my mum's side of the family. It just kind of panicked me for a little bit. And so, no, honey, it looks all right. Well, put your head down. "Oh, hey, hold on. Maybe, she said, maybe." I said, "Well, I'll just maybe grow my hair longer. It'll fix the problem." Doesn't seem to be fixing the problem. So I come to church and we have very well-meaning people here. And I'm flattered. I'm flattered that people feel that they can just tell me what's on their mind. And that they're comfortable enough to share with me what's happening in their mind processes. And so I came to church and I'm not naming names and I love them dearly. I still love them dearly. Someone mentioned, "Pastor Chris, I notice that you're thinning on top." And I'm going through this in my mind because I'm concerned I might be thinning on top. Can't have that happen. I need hair. "You're thinning on top." "Oh, not what I wanted to hear." But it is true, you're probably right, and the individual gave a prescription, and I probably need to think seriously about it, do something about it. Church was over, hopped in the car, head out to Light Sacramento, and someone said, you know, I noticed, Pastor Chris, that you're really graying since you've been here. You're really, you know, white, getting really white, and I have a solution for you. And so he suggested certain things for my whiteness. And then in the back of the car, someone decided to just join the bandwagon and say, yeah, I've noticed that too, and you're thinning on top. And I wasn't offended for at least not very long. And so they were well-meaning, and I love them dearly and still do, and everything's fine. And I'm not having a complex, I hope. But sometimes people will say something, and we're struggling inside about something, and that it wasn't really offensive, but you know, because of what we're going through, it becomes a bit of a mountain. And so anyway, that's just kind of how it goes. So if you find yourself easily upset with someone, just examine first to see if there's something going on in your life that's making you more irritable. Are you blaming others for offending you when in reality, you wouldn't be upset if you'd already dealt with that hot button issue in your life? Ask God to help you get over these wounds, maybe emotional scars or insecurities, so they're no longer a driving wedge between you and somebody else. That's the third thing. Fourthly, shed unfair expectations. People get easily offended because they have too high expectations. We take offense. It's a matter of being disappointed in other people when we see their faults. You see the same clique kind of all together at church, perhaps, never trying to get to know anyone else. Your children's teacher has a week worth of homework to grade and isn't very friendly when you drop by to her office to talk with her. Maybe the pastor was in a bit of a hurry, off to somewhere, didn't know what was happening, but you know, pastors are supposed to be calm and they talk to everyone, and they have 42 hours in a day to deal with every single issue and problem. And sometimes we have higher expectations than we ought to. These things happen. And sometimes we get mistreated because of those things. But we have to remember that we're all a work in progress. Amen? I don't think some of us are convinced about that. We are all a work in progress. Amen? Yeah. Yeah, we certainly are. There's no question about it. If you remember this, you'll be more tolerant with others and less likely to take offense when people say and do something that they shouldn't. The last thing, always assume good motives. Well, actually, it's not the last thing. We've got one more after this, but assume good motives. Always assume good motives. It's important to assume the person who offended you perhaps had your best interest at heart, or at least they didn't mean to hurt you. It's helpful to remember that what someone says is not always what he or she meant. Do we sometimes put our own foot in our own mouth? We do, right? Aren't you grateful for friends who understand that you do that often? And they don't come back and get offended and irritable with you? Well, then we need to be the same thing to other people too. Give them the benefit of the doubt, you see. We can know that if we do say something tactless or inappropriate, our friend will just kind of laugh, shrug it off, and we move on. We need that kind of understanding. We need to extend that understanding to others as well. If others offend you, consider they probably didn't intend to. Chances are they were preoccupied with something else, they weren't feeling well, or didn't think how their actions would have come across. Those are all very possible explanations. So the next time you find yourself getting offended, take a few moments to think about it, pray. Once you do, you may realize it's not something to get upset about. Remember, there are unique personalities. Allow for differences. Ignore the unpleasant mistakes. Learn to enjoy people. Learn to enjoy people even when they don't always say or do the things that endear you to them. Now, there's one more thing. One more thing that will prove helpful, especially when dealing with sizable offenses. Sizable offenses. Peter was writing to the Christian church. I'd like to invite you to turn with me to 1 Peter. It's our second to last verse here this morning. 1 Peter 2, verse 19. Peter was writing to Christians who are familiar with offense. Offense. And he offers three little words, a key to overlooking offenses. And so here they are, 1 Peter 2 and verse 19. I'm going to read it to you in the New King James and then from the English Standard, because I like the way the English Standard puts it. 1 Peter 2, verse 19, for this is commendable if because of conscience toward God, only one endures. Let me start again. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. Let me read it to you in another version. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. Did you hear those three little words? What were they? Be mindful of God. We'll have it up on the screen. That's the key. Be mindful of God. This year's theme is looking to who? Jesus. Looking to Jesus. Be mindful of God. In other words, don't focus on the offense itself. Don't stare at something that's going to detract you from something that's really important. We certainly don't want to look inside ourselves, but rather we should overlook the offense by looking up to God, you see. Being mindful of God, we become mindful of Him wherever we find ourselves, at the dinner table, at the grocery store, at the workplace, wherever we find ourselves, mindful of God. Now, to be sure, Peter's readers were dealing with offenses that were far more severe than the kind Westerners you and I really face. They were dealing with physical abuse. They were dealing with ridicule. They were dealing with fiery trials. But learning to overlook the biggest offenses usually begins with overlooking the little ones. Enduring slander begins with enduring a sarcastic remark. Enduring a beating begins with enduring a cold shoulder. Being mindful of God in everyday offenses trains us to be mindful when the worst things come to us. Being mindful of God. And being mindful of God reminds us that God sees the offense. God sees the offense. It didn't happen in some corner, little closed corner of the universe. It's open to God's purview. He sees it all. Some offenses have a way of turning us into momentary atheists. Yes, our tunnel vision, we think and feel and act as if there is no God, especially in this room, because we've been so highly offended. Being mindful of God means first remembering that God sees. He hears and He sees. No offense happens off stage in some unobserved corner of the universe. Being mindful of God pulls back the curtain, puts in the spotlight and reminds us that we live and we move and we have our being before the eyes of the audience, more important than 1,000 kings and presidents, the God of the universe. Being mindful of God, He sees the offense. Also, He allows the offense. Sometimes He suffers the offense to take place. On this side of heaven, offenses, as we've already seen, are just going to be a part of life. And for the Christian, it's likely that offenses will become more severe that the average person won't have to endure. God allows the offense. Therefore, be mindful of God and know that, as someone said, and I like the way he put it, the dagger often others throw your way will become, in God's hand, chisels to fashion you into the image of Christ. Remember that. And also remember that the offense, God will judge. God will judge it. We can overlook offenses not only because God sees our offense, allows our offense, but also because God will judge every offense, whether the offense is small or whether it is large. God's judgment frees us to exchange bitterness for patience, retribution for mercy. It beckons us to release our right to get even and to hand over our cause to Him who judges justly. We can trust that God Himself can satisfy us in the midst of our offense. Of all the refuges that we can run to when we're offended, bitterness and revenge and fantasy and distraction and pleasure and self-justification, there's only one who cares for us, and that is God and His Son, Jesus Christ. When I was thinking about that wrinkle-resistant shirt, whether I was wrinkle-resistant when problem people and problems came my way, I also thought about Jesus. I thought about Jesus. How did He handle life's rinse cycles? I'm going to take you to our last verse this morning, Isaiah 50, verse 7. Isaiah 50, verse 7. Did Jesus fold under pressure? What was His attitude like when He was confronted with challenging people? For certainly no one has been called to endure or undergo what Jesus has had to endure and undergo. It wasn't long afterwards that I was reading my Bible and I came to this verse in Isaiah. These prophetic words that told about the way Jesus would approach difficult situations, the way He would approach difficult people when He would come to live as a man. And it says these words in Isaiah 50 and verse 7, "For the Lord will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." These prophetic words, how impressive. Jesus was purely determined to not turn to the right, not turn to the left, get offended, in order to honor and obey his Father in his bearing and in his behavior. Oh man, what a savior. And when the context of this verse is read, you find Jesus speaks these words when enduring virulent attacks on his character and on his person. Yet Jesus would remain firm. Jesus would remain unmoved while the waves of personal attack and hate beat on him. Jesus would remain wrinkle resistant while being run through one spin cycle after the other. What an example of poise and pureness we have in Jesus. They would say and they would do whatever they wanted to him, but nothing would upset, nothing would disturb his connection with his Father. Jesus rested in his Father's care and his concern for him. And you and I can do that as well. Do you get easily offended? Do you get easily disturbed when someone does something or something that you don't like? Do you get all wrinkled up when you're disagreed with? We haven't nearly begun to undergo what our Savior went through, yet how ready we are to fall apart. Perhaps it's time we ask Jesus to clothe us in his wrinkle-resistant character. What do you say? So that nothing will be able to move us from the Father's side. Perhaps it's time we ask the Lord to help us set our faces like flint, so that when trouble comes and when trouble people come, we won't be moved. I know I'll be asking. How about you? Amen. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, you're good to us. You're gracious. You're kind. And today we've been talking a little bit about what it means to not be so easily offended, not to get so easily offended about things. Lord, please teach us to be like Jesus, who endured everything possible that human beings could heap upon another person. He endured for us. And he was led quietly, silently like a lamb. And Lord, we pray that we'll learn something from Jesus, set our faces like flint that we might not be moved to the left or to the right to be offended. Help us, Lord, to look to Jesus, to not think so highly of ourselves, but trust in you when situations arise. Teach us to be like you, we pray. Clothe us with your wrinkle-resistant character, we ask. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.